listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas on 200 FSR stations across this great nation. 6 Eastern, 3 here in Vegas. Action-packed Thursday, day after New Year's Day. Ton of college football and NFL right around the corner in studio. One of the pros who knows, Brad Powers. Fezzik, extended holiday. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. But you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And on a day in which we inch closer to the first round of the NFL playoffs, we've got the major college football bowl games coming up after the weekend. We do start with the Vegas lead here to start out the new year.
Yeah, every year. Or every day, even, we'll say. Maybe we should have the Vegas lead for the year. 2020 is, got to give credit, though, to Brad Powers. I mean, he has got his fingers on the pulse, as they say. And you saw something just as we were coming on the show. You think not only is a noteworthy story, but one we could make some money on, like, almost instantly.
Yeah, game currently going on, a college football bowl game, the Birmingham Bowl, Cincinnati and Boston College. If you're watching this earlier, lightning delay. This game was delayed more than an hour. It was 0-0, Cincinnati and Boston College. During the delay, there's news on Twitter, a couple people reporting that Boston College wanted to cancel the game, call the game off. Cincinnati insisted to wait out the weather, the lightning, and whatnot. And right now, Cincinnati, after the weather delay, has outscored Boston College 17-0 since the delay. The team that insisted on playing against the team that wanted to call it off, 17-0.
All right, so now, how much time's left in the second quarter?
Literally, in the last 30 seconds, just reached halftime. I am going to bet it. I got it on my app right now. I'm going to bet Cincinnati in the second half. I think
you don't even care what the line's going to be.
It's going to be it's right now -4 Cincinnati. I think we see more of the same in the second half.
Hold on a second. It's -4 right now. You're still talking and not betting, but you're telling everyone to bet?
Yes.
You're not live bet Jesus or nothing, but come on now. All right, so what do you think? I mean, are we making perhaps radio history?
I think so. It's actually pretty exciting because Brad was fired up about it. And so when we did the pre-show production meeting, he was all about it, waiting for a line to come out. And the second he got it, he pulled the trigger quick. So
no, he kept talking. His love.
It's Matt.
Okay, now it's you done. Have. Yeah, he talked about 7 extra words. Let's be honest. I mean, 7 more than I would have said. I would have been betting. But in a way, you got to appreciate he loves money. So the fact he loves the audience even more, saying, let's give them a shot. I can hear everyone on their phones right now. So if you do bet half times, now listen, there's no guarantee, but pretty sharp, pretty sharp. I think there's another story here. Another thought on that?
Yeah, and another thought on it. This makes a lot of sense because coming into the game, there was questionable motivation for Boston College. Interim coach and BC's best player, their all-time leading rusher, A.J. Dillon, decided to skip the game. He sat it out. So
now, again, at what point did he decide to skip the game?
About a week and a half ago.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that was all built in. Yeah. And we always talk about how when a player decides not to play a bowl game, it's not only his absence on the field, it's the psychology of the other teammates saying, huh, he doesn't think this game's too important either, yep. Right? So here's what I would say. This tells me more, and I'm RJ Bell straight out of Vegas, about how pointless these bowl games are. I was just on with Doug Gottlieb right here in FSR about a half hour ago. We got it. Probably the most contentious disagreement I've had with him in many years doing a segment, you know, I was saying these no one cares about these bowl games. Maybe extend the playoffs. At least people are going to care if there's another round of playoffs. I think it's hard to say the playoff games are obviously the most important, but then by the same token to say, but this other game's really important too. I can remember it's been 11 years now that my best friend was on the Kansas staff when they actually played Virginia Tech. Yep. In the Orange Bowl. So I went down, was around the scene, and I'm not going to say who gave them to me, but I had about 30 tickets I could get rid of, let's say, before the game, right? I couldn't give them away. I mean, it's the Orange Bowl. And I get it, Virginia Tech, Kansas,
yeah.
It's the Orange Bowl. I mean, if I could get like half face, I would have been like ecstatic. Nothing. No one wanted them.
Wow.
So if you have an Orange Bowl, and has it gotten better?
No.
Or worse?
Worse.
And I get no sense. I'm not watching a lot of these games. I can't lie. Jonas, I know you watch more games than most. Do you get any sense the crowd? Let's use the crowd as a proxy. They're the ones saying, we're willing to pay something, drive, park, wait, all that, to watch this game, and they don't even seem enthused.
I mean, there were empty seats during the Sugar Bowl last night, and that's, you know, it's in the South. Georgia was playing, Baylor's there. There were empty seats there. The Orange Bowl was on a Monday night. It just didn't feel like it had any buzz attached to it. It's college football told you from the beginning when they made the college football playoff, three bowl games matter: the semifinals and the national championship. Everything else is an exhibition.
It's pretty well said. Yep. Pretty well said. And the fact that they wouldn't even consider canceling this game that early in the process if it were the regular season. If it were week four, literally like October 7th, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you ever see a game called? How much time was it in the delay?
A little over an hour.
So an hour into the delay. Now, by the way, all the shrimp dinners were ate.
Yeah.
Everyone went to the venue. Everyone got there, all expenses paid, right?
Yep.
And, we got to play a game? Is it raining out? Maybe we should cancel this thing. It's like when someone doesn't want to go golfing or something. You see a cloud way off in the corner. They're telling us they don't care. Why should we? Unless you can make money on a halftime bet, then we care.
Yes.
I'm going to give thumbs up for Brad there, man. He's got all the college knowledge. He was on it. We'll see what happens. And once again, the second half line you bet was?
Cincinnati -4 second half.
-4.
Yep.
All right.
All right, guys. And by the way, just an update. I am seeing that the line dropped to 3.5 in some places.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So you're saying Brad Powers puts his stamp of approval on a game. Hundreds of thousands of people literally are listening, and the line goes the other way.
Yeah, it feels like, there's some movement there. So Brad's got a lot of influence.
You know what's happening there? No, I'm serious. I would make a major bet. I bet the line, and I'm not a master at the halftime adjustments, so maybe actually give Fez a text, and we'll see if we get it in the next half hour or so. I bet that the opener shaded a little bit what the conversion would have been. Because they, these bookmakers aren't smart, but they're not that dumb. They probably saw some of what Brad saw, and they said, let's shade it this way. And then some of the bettors said, no, we don't think that's a factor that matters, and thus they bet it because it was shaded that way, but they bet the other way. We'll see. What I'm going to ask Fezzik is, because he's a master of the halftime, what should have that line been if there wasn't this factor of motivation potentially? I'm guessing he's going to tell us this line was shaded. Jonas.
Guys, we go now to the NFL, where it was announced earlier today, or actually made official in the last couple of days, Ron Rivera, the brand new head coach of the Washington Redskins. Rivera now leading the charge for Dwayne Haskins and company there in D.C.
Yeah, so you got to wonder, is this a sign Rivera wasn't going to get another job? Because of the jobs that we suspect are open or going to be open, isn't this the worst?
Oh, Cleveland's the worst.
No, you're not being serious.
You're just looking at the talent.
Well, what else are you looking at?
I'm looking at just the overall like vibe.
Well, you can change a vibe. If the Browns would have went 11-5 this year, that vibe, if anything, they're so anxious for a winner in Cleveland, the vibe would change. You'd have so much love. The Patriots went 13, or I guess they didn't go 13-3, but they went 12-4, and it was like they were having a funeral. So if the Browns went 11-5, they'd be dancing in the streets.
Good point.
Right? So, wow. And I, whatever you want to say about Haslam, the owner, he's at least a modern guy, and he, you know, it feels like he's trying to do good things. The Skins, you got to wonder about that even. So, to me, this is near the bottom of the list, if not of all the jobs in the league. If they were all open with current talent, current ownership, Jonas, who is worse than Washington?
I think this is at the bottom. I would agree. Cleveland feels like they're in a spot to where they're going to give you a longer leash. That's the only reason why I wonder why Ron Rivera took this job, because he didn't interview with anybody else. Like, there was no interview. Either he wasn't going to get an interview, or he just decided that, you know, this is a place to where he trusted Daniel Snyder. He was going to get time to try and turn this thing around. They gave him a 5-year deal, because outside of that, I don't know why he would have taken this even over the Giants. I think the Giants is a better job. I think there's more there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
it's New York City.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, here's what I think. At this level, when you've been in the league as long as Rivera, you got friends at every organization, and you got mutual respect from others in the game. And I'm guessing back channel, you know, he heard he just wasn't going to be up for these other jobs, or it was a potential long shot and Washington wanted to move fast. Who knows? But let's just say this. If he had his choice, this would be a strange choice. So that makes me think Rivera didn't have his choice. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. Now, Brad Powers, that horrible Browns. Do you see now? Do you want to retract it?
No, I just think there's more upward mobility.
So yes or no?
No, I'm sticking with it. I think Washington's still a better job.
All right, I don't think I've ever done this before. I was going to turn his mic off, but he's the one that's going to give the info next. So you know what we're going to do? The first minute of the next segment, his mic is off, but we need him now, so we'll defer that for a second. This is like suspensions in college. Like, they'll suspend the guys so it's not the big game. Here's the question, Brad. You pulled up some good research when it came to Rivera. The point spread, the great equalizer, how you do against the spread is a great statement about, does your team underperform or overperform? Redskins are getting a pretty good guy here.
Yeah, so during the Ron Rivera era, the Carolina Panthers were sixth in that time period as far as ATS margin.
All right,
sixth.
So let's be clear now. ATS margin is just the total number of points they exceeded expectations over all those years.
Yep.
Now, if you look at the top five, number six is excellent. Top five, maybe five Hall of Famers.
Yes. New England, one. Seattle, two. Followed by the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Saints. Then Ron Rivera.
Think about that. That is a heck of a list of coaches. Rivera next, and then Zimmer after that, right? And Zimmer's one of the best during his era. Amazing, amazing. All right, so we figure, a little deduction style, Rivera didn't have many choices. Why else would he take the Skins? But boy, Rivera's probably underrated, at least looking backwards. You got to wonder, with the modern NFL and with analytics and all the big debates, let's not forget, what did the Redskins do when they fired their coach? They went old school. Mm. They went running the ball. Amongst the viable coaches right now that could have taken the Redskins job, who's the most old school? Have to say Rivera, right? So what we've seen here, both in the choice of an interim coach and the choice of the new coach, the Skins and that ownership are saying, we want to stay looking backwards. Rivera's probably the best person for that. The question is, how much has the game passed him by? What we know is, with Callahan, the Skins did pretty well.
Yep.
When we come back, you won't be hearing from Brad for the first 60 seconds, but we're going to tell you something about the Houston Texans and how good they've been that will shock you.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will have an update on an in-game bet currently in progress.
Yeah, and by the way, you're listening to the fastest-growing show on FSR, but I just heard a commercial saying Clay Travis has claimed that. Wrong. Now, let's give Clay some credit. He's probably looking at raw listeners over percentage. I'm not going to say that's wrong. But usually when you talk growth, you talk percentage. But I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's not as right as we are, right? So you can hear this kind of banter and the rest of it each weekday here. And you can hear us on 200 FSR stations, foxsportsradio.com, also the iHeartRadio app, SiriusXM, and anytime on podcasts, just search RJ Bell. Right now on the strip, 61 degrees. The neon is chugging.
So, RJ, we have an update on the Birmingham Bowl in progress right now after a lengthy weather delay. Cincinnati was a 17-0 leader at halftime. We are just a few minutes into the second half. It's now 24-0, Cincinnati with the lead.
Now, Brad Powers, who currently his mic is off. Jonas, you want a time? I'm giving him a minute penalty. You
got
want
it.
To time it for
yeah,
him?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
All right.
We got it.
So just, you know, let me know. Brad, try to talk right now.
Touchdown, Cincinnati.
See, it's like you don't exist. Now, here's what happened, though. Why is his mic off, you might ask? Because he said the craziest thing he's ever said on this show, that the Browns were the worst job in the NFL with maybe the, what, fifth or sixth most talent in the NFL? If you just look at raw young talent?
Yeah, they're up there. Yeah.
They're up there. But somehow they're the worst? No. Penalty box. But he did have a brilliant point leading off the show, which was, if you looked at the fact that BC, Boston College, was lobbying to cancel the game because it was raining, that told him, and rightfully so, you know something? They're not going to be motivated in the second half. So he was ready and live on air, maybe making national radio history. He made his bet as he was talking and giving us the bet. Now, Jonas, who is a natural troublemaker.
Welcome back, Brad. We are at 60 seconds.
Oh, he's good?
Yeah.
Be judicious from here. Now, a natural troublemaker, Jonas looks and goes, guys, listen, I'm not a professional gambler or nothing, but Brad just bet this game at 4, who's the opponent?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati favorite? The line's down to 3.5. And then he goes, it was a weird kind of, he was so happy. And let's be honest, Brad, you looked like your face went white.
Yep.
It was like, oh, did I get this wrong?
Yep.
Just instantly my thought was, I know what's going on here. And we got confirmation. This line probably was shaded, my thinking was, because of the theory. And I think, Brad, you were right. At least so far, it looks like it, that there was questionable motivation for Cincinnati. And thus, the line was shaded that way. And those who were robotically say, well, if the score is this, the spread should be this at halftime, because there really is simple mathematics to give you at least the range of that. They said, oh, we're getting value. Fezzik, one of the best halftime bettors in the world. I think he's the best in-game bettor by far, actually. He, having a vacation, we text him. He happened to look at his pina colada and his phone was right there. And he said, yeah, he goes, that opener should have been 3.
Yep.
So this is fascinating. The bookies in this case were smart enough to say, this isn't a normal game. We're going to shade it. They do. Brad still likes it at 4, because really you didn't have a great idea what the line should have been at halftime, right?
No,
you're
didn't.
Not a halftime batter. You
agree.
Were firing directionally. Yep. All right. I got it. So you got scared. But what ended up happening was a lot of bettors that were either unaware of the motivational question or they discounted it, said, wait a minute, this line's supposed to be 3. It's 4. I'm taking the dog. And thus Jonas in his hee-hee moment. What do you think, John?
That makes all the sense in the world. I mean,
I know. And all talk about the sausage. I mean, this is what it's like Saturday morning. There's just no cameras.
Right. Guys, before we get to a look ahead at a team in the NFL that is definitely underrated, we do want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help get you back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. The Houston Texans are hosting the Buffalo Bills this Saturday, the first of four wild card games in the NFL playoffs. And RJ, although they don't get a lot of love, the Houston Texans may be better than people realize.
Well, I think at least O'Brien's performance is more deserving of respect. My stats here speak to the last 5 years. And I think that you got to reevaluate. We just reevaluated Ron Rivera. We said, this guy's better than people think. Sixth best ATS margin during his tenure.
Yep.
Against everybody. So I also think O'Brien deserves more respect. Here's what we did. We said 4 out of 5 division titles. That seems like something. What other teams have done that? And how recently, like they're at the, you know, in the middle of, in theory, a streak, it could be 5 out of 6 or whatever, where they've won 4 out of 5. Who else is in the middle of that? And this is what we found out. Pregame.com research, McKenzie heading it up. Houston, Kansas City, New England, and that's it, have an active streak. So right now there's 3 teams that have won their division 4 out of 5 years, and they all made the playoffs this year, because in theory it could have been 4 in a row and not this year. No team did it ending in 18. No team did it ending in 17. And then Green Bay did in 16. All right, so think about this. Literally going back to 16 and saying you've got these 5-year windows and you can move them so it could start in 16, or it could end in 16, end in 17, end in 18, end in 19. 4 or 5 year windows, only 4 teams have done it.
Wow.
That's pretty rare.
Yep.
Now, let's go all the way back to the Super Bowl, or let's call it the merger era. I guess that was from Super Bowl 4 onward. There's 32 franchises, right? 13 of them have never won 4 out of 5 division championships. So we're talking now over 40 years, right? And Houston's in the middle of doing something that almost 40% of the league has never done. Never. And then if you go back and you say, well, what are some of these other years? It's like the Rams did it in 1979. That was, you know, 4th out of 5. Raiders in 76. Dolphins in 85. All those Dan Marino years never did it. Bears in 90. All those, I mean, think of the Dallas Cowboys haven't done it since 98.
Wow.
Steelers, right? Pedestal team. Last time the Steelers won their division 4 out of 5 years ended in 97. So, last point, this century, only 9 teams have done it. So, we're now 20 years in. If you count 2000 as the beginning of the century, this is 19th season. 20 years and only 9 teams have done what Houston is doing right now. I'm not saying that means O'Brien's a genius. It means we do Houston radio every week. He doesn't get that kind of credit.
No, he doesn't.
And I don't know any national media guy that's like a huge O'Brien guy. Do you, Josh?
No, I don't know many. And I also think this is sort of, there's a negative approach to the AFC South when we look at it. We just sort of assume, it's, you know, whatever. But still, somebody's got to win it. The fact that they're doing it that much just doesn't get talked about nationally.
You know what's funny? I almost go the other way with it, which is if you have 4 teams in a division, obviously, right? So you got 3 opponents.
Right.
If all 3 of them are pretty good and 2 of them, your opponents are competitive, but you're not great and they're not great. I almost think it's harder to win a division than in a situation where it's like Steelers, Ravens, where both of them are almost always really good But then the Browns are never good recently. And the Bengals, you know, you could say they've been okay because they made some playoffs, but, you know, it never felt when Pittsburgh needed a win over Cincy. It doesn't matter where the game was. They got it. But this has been so, I mean, Andrew Luck, you know, obviously Jacksonville had a short window when they were good, but Tennessee, I mean, just feels like that. That's been a very competitive division.
They beat up on each other.
Yeah, you could be right. As in, if you grade them against other teams, maybe it's not as impressive. But I got to tell you something: division championships matter, right? That, I mean, like, it's one of the premises of having a division. The reason the Eagles are in the playoffs, and you might say, oh, you know, it's not O'Brien, it's Watson. Well, if you go back and look at those 5 years, the first two that they made were with some of the worst quarterbacks to ever take a snap in the postseason, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So due to injuries before Watson, Houston was as weak as you get as a playoff team at quarterback.
Yep.
Which means what is that then? That's coaching, isn't it? If it's not your quarterback? I don't know enough to judge them. But when 9 teams have done something in a century or in 20 years of the century, and you're one of them, and it's about winning. Because winning the games after you make the playoffs, there's a lot of luck. It's one game, right? Think about the Pats. How many Super Bowls could they have lost or won? The 2 Giants ones they could have won, right? Go all the way back to all the 3-pointers they could have lost. And then you go back even to last year, they could have easily lost against Kansas City, you know, earlier. Yep. And then we'd be talking about all 2 years in a row, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. One offsides play. And then Jacksonville, if they make one play in that game the year before, New England's been in so many one-score, one-play games. Now, the fact they win more than they lose of those, is that Belichick or is that luck? I don't know. But I know this, playing 16 games and winning enough to win your division, not as much luck in that. And O'Brien's doing it in a way that very few have done it this century. And I like to reward success, so thumbs up.
Guys, it was a busy day around college football yesterday on New Year's Day. We're going to take a look back at each of these games. We're going to start with the Outback Bowl, where it was Minnesota, a 31-24 win over Auburn.
Now, I'm of two minds here. Brad does so much great work in the colleges. I wanted him to have a little bit of time to go over these games. But the combination of his crazy take on the Browns and the fact that some of these games just stink, I want you to use editorial judgment. Some of these recaps should be less than 20 seconds. Others can be longer.
I'll start with 3 words on this one. I was wrong. I liked Auburn in this game. It was one of my favorite bets of yesterday. And flipping on that game, you would have thought...
Well, hold on a second. How many bets did you have yesterday?
I had 2.
So it wasn't one of your favorites. It was 1 of 2.
Yeah, 1 of 2.
Okay,
it was my favorite play. I gave it out on this show.
No, you said one of the favorites.
Yes.
You only had two.
Fair enough. 1 of 2. 1 and 1 yesterday. But what I got wrong is I thought the superior talent edges for Auburn were an overmatch, whether or not they'd be motivated. I thought Auburn would be motivated. Their best players decided not to skip the NFL draft. They wanted to play in this game. And this was an opportunity for Minnesota to establish itself that they are a player with the P.J. Fleck. And certainly P.J. Fleck gets all that credit for row the boat. He is, in my opinion, R.J., P.J. Fleck, Minnesota, top 3-4 young coach in college football. Proved it in this game.
Okay. I've never seen a situation where talent is able to overcome lack of motivation in a bowl game. I mean, what was that Alabama game in the Sugar, wasn't it?
Yeah, against Utah.
So explain that game real quick.
So Alabama had lost to Florida in the SEC championship game. They were going to the national championship, lose that game, nothing really to play for, play Utah. And Alabama, clearly superior talented team, wasn't motivated, lost that game outright.
I mean, by what was the margin in that one?
Utah won by 11, I think, 31-20.
Yeah, so double digits Utah. Yeah. And this was a Utah team that wasn't like all borderline playoffs. They were just a normal small conference team, right?
Yeah,
one of the better ones.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
A normal champion of a small conference. So if Alabama's not able to overcome Utah, how in the heck was any team, Auburn especially, going to do it?
Well, I thought they would be motivated.
Okay, so that's a different story.
Yes.
But when you were explaining away your pick,
I didn't do a good job.
Like three or four different ways,
yes.
You were just throwing stuff against the wall. Let me tell you, that didn't stick. If you can figure out who's not motivated, you bet against them.
Yes.
Can you think of one game this year a team was in the bowls was obviously less motivated, but they still won?
Alabama yesterday.
What made you think on the field that they were less motivated? I'm not saying in Brad Powers' head.
In the first half, they were slow. It was slow. I mean, they just didn't seem like they were into it until the second half.
So net for the game, right?
Probably close to equal.
So what you're saying is Alabama unmotivated is about when they were unmotivated seemingly on the field against Michigan, what was the score?
It was 16-14 Michigan.
So you're saying if Alabama, who couldn't even make their conference championship, is unmotivated, Michigan's about the same as them.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Guys, to the Rose Bowl we go, where Oregon got a 28-27 win over Wisconsin.
Oh, this is interesting, right? Because it's Big Ten. What do you think?
This was the biggest misleading final of the bowl season. Wisconsin won, dominated the box score everywhere but the scoreboard. Wisconsin minus 3 in turnovers and still had a chance to win the game at the very end. Final drive, a questionable call, goes against Wisconsin.
Remember, guys, this comes so second nature to us. We got to remind some new listeners, as the fastest growing show, I mean, right, is we grade the games on misleading finals when we're assessing how good the teams actually are. When it comes to what is being decided on the field, it doesn't matter. That Rose Bowl ring is going to shine just as sparkly, regardless. So it really is a situation where at the end of the year, it's not as important, though it's worth doing in the extreme cases to point it out. But during the year, we often will say, and we deal with Seattle a lot, hey, they won the game, wasn't as impressive as it looked. And I think we've seen, though I haven't gotten as many apologies on Twitter as you might think, when I was pounding my fist about the Seahawks were way overrated and they won a couple close games to continue that streak, there was a sense of, RJ, you were wrong. Maybe I was. I still am not sure. But, man, what you end up seeing is that stuff evens out. When it's the last game, meaning winning close games, when it's the last game of the year, doesn't really matter other than assessing how good was his team really.
Great point, but I'll say this. If there's one game that people overreact to, it's what they saw last. So if you're evaluating teams moving forward in the next year, that bowl game is the single most important game
people
look to.
Now that's interesting. So you used to work with Phil Steele. You were intimately involved with that magazine, all the preseason work. So you're saying you believe that perceptions of a program in college football are affected greatly by how they did in the bowl game.
Yep, absolutely. It's the most important game.
He just came over the top, baby. That was a good one. Let's do this. No, we'll go one more. Let's do one more game. We want Brad to keep on a roll.
All right, to New Orleans we go, where it was the Sugar Bowl, and it saw Baylor fall to Georgia. 26-14 was the final for the Bulldogs.
All right, so Georgia wins that game. What was the spread in that game?
Georgia close 3-point favorite.
Ooh, just over top.
So, massive line move. Georgia, 13 of their players decided to skip the bowl or were injured in the game. And the line moved 5 points. Georgia opened an 8-point favorite, closed a 3-point favorite. I'll say this. In the entire country, there's probably only 3 or 4 programs that could have done what Georgia did last night. Lose 13 players. 12 of them were in the 2-deep. Basically, half your 2-deep is gone. Not going to play. And yet, Georgia wins the game, covers the game. I would say only Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama could have done what Georgia did last night.
Okay, so you're saying just the depth of talent,
yes,
that would have been required, Georgia's in that small group.
Very small elite group.
But somehow they never win a big game.
But last night was pretty big.
Oh, really?
Good point.
I mean, that's the thing. The fact that I'm kind of being derisive and
saying, of the Sugar Bowl.
Exactly.
That's a problem.
And maybe I'm wrong about it, but let me ask you again. I think Jonas is a great sounding board for this. Could you imagine debating a Georgia fan in like 3 years from now? They're talking about the, you know, Kirby Smart, how's everything going? And they said, yep, Sugar Bowl championship, 2019 season. Would you be like, you know, touche?
No, I also don't think these should count against coaches' records. I think that's outdated now.
Well, if it's an exhibition.
Yeah, if players aren't playing, why should a coach be judged on his bowl record if players are choosing not to play in these games?
And you know what? In a weird way, this, for me growing up in the 80s, and I can just remember some of my fondest memory. I can remember there was a, you probably know what in this game, Rose Bowl. I think Michigan was in it. And I just remember I was laying, it was maybe like 1990, 91. I was laying like 2.5. And I was with my, you know, a girlfriend at the time. And I was waiting in the driveway listening to the game, pre-internet now. it's just, especially if you're around your family that time of year, a lot of people were lamenting January 1's not what it used to be. And I can see that too. So there is nostalgia with this. I actually think it moving in this direction where people are rejecting what's going on is a good thing. Because you're going to have a tumultuous time, but maybe at the end of it, it gets a lot better. I think players not getting paid, I don't know all the answers. I haven't given it much thought, to be honest. I just know if the fat guys eating a bunch of shrimp are getting their money, maybe the kids who are doing a lot of the, or almost all the work should get their money because the coaches are getting theirs too.
Amen. Right?
There's one person it's not, or one group it's not. So how you do that, I don't have any idea, right? But just drop the money in a pile and let the team fight over it, whatever. But they should be getting something, right?
I'd rather watch that than these bowl games.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I think that we're seeing it all be interconnected. The players are like, why? You know, we're getting exploited. Why am I going to play an extra game? So those, because they were at the bowl games earlier, seeing the fat guys in the suits eating the shrimp, the free shrimp. So they're saying, F that. And I say, all right, that makes some sense. And we're saying, what's this bowl, huh? Is there a line on it? And if there's a line, we'll think about it. Otherwise, we're not even thinking about it. So the marketplace is going to speak, and that's what's great about capitalism. Eventually, it's all about the dollars.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan, and he is RJ Bell, the voice of Vegas here on Straight Outta Vegas.
So when we come back, you're going to get a best bet from me. And also, we're going to talk Michigan and Alabama. I think these Michigan apologists are wrong.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. All right, we are recapping the January 1st bowl games. There's one remaining, the best for last, and it is Alabama's 35-16 win over Michigan in the Citrus Bowl.
You know, maybe I'm just going crazy, but when I keep hearing everyone saying, yeah, Michigan's not quite there yet, but it's like, what the? I mean, Brad, how pathetic is this?
Unbelievably pathetic, because the expectation coming in, hey, Alabama, a couple defensive starters sitting out. Alabama's not going to be motivated for this game. This is a chance for Michigan to get a big win. Lose by 19.
And, like, what? I just don't understand. I mean, we did a little work. We said, all right, how is Harbaugh, when they are a single-digit favorite, they're supposed to win but not dominate, yep, or a dog? So these are the close games, yep, for them. He's 9-16. Nine winners. This is straight up now. Nine winners, 16 losers. Now, I don't know. When you have a lot of those games that you're actually favored in amongst that universe of games, it kind of makes you wonder, should he be held accountable to not win games when he's not winning games he's supposed to win?
Especially when you're getting paid $7 million a year.
That's part of it, too. So, I mean, I just think there's a bunch of apologists, and I don't understand why.
He smells.
All right, guys, we got a best bet here in one moment. Quickly, want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service with over 5,600 locations nationwide. AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
All right, best bet time. This is going to be a quick one. So this is an early one, and we'll break it down tomorrow. Is I'm going with the Patriots. And remember, best bets in the playoffs aren't as big. You don't have as many games to choose from. So we'll call it half a bet. as if it were best bet. And here's why. The Patriots, if you look at the whole season, if you look at anything even beyond that, are clearly better than Tennessee. The only area Tennessee is better at is the last 6 weeks or so. I always trust long-term stats more than I do short-term. I know Tannehill was the change, but oh, look at Tannehill in big games.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are back tomorrow for a full preview of the first round of the NFL playoffs. That's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Straight Outta Vegas on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!